So the Sewol ferry disaster, President Park Geun-hye's impeachment, the deployment of the anti-missile THAAD battery. These are just some of the major issues that have become politicized, not just in Korean society, but in classrooms. And it's become more important than ever to decide how schools should address such political agendas. Germany's Bütelsbacher consensus is one model that's been pointed to on how political education should be carried out. Let's hear more from Professor Kirsten Pohl from the University of Mainz, who recently visited Korea to talk about the issue. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, Alex. I'm glad to join you.
So how important is it for students to at least debate these issues that have become politicized?
I think it is very important. The idea that current political issues should be discussed is older than the Bütelsbach consensus. In Germany, it has been introduced as early as the late 1920s during Weimar Republic, and then after National Socialist dictatorship, when students were indoctrinated with the inhuman ideology of National Socialism, it became common again during the 1960s and 1970s. And I think that debating politicized agendas does not interfere with the first two principles of Bütelsbach consensus, the prohibition of overwhelming the students and the imperative to present controversies, if the teachers really consider the different positions in those debates. And debating politicized agendas, as the ones you talked about in Korea, is even requested by the third principle of the Bütelsbach consensus, which says that the students should be put in a position to analyze the political situation and their personal interests, as well as to seek ways to have an impact on these situations in view of their interests. And how could we enable them to do so if not by debating on politicized agendas in schools?
Yeah, so again, just to summarize, those three consensus points in Germany: prohibition against overwhelming the pupil, treating controversial subjects as controversial, and giving weight to the personal interests of pupils. So let's look at an example here. Against that backdrop, what's your view, for example, of a principal of a Seoul high school telling students that the impeachment of President Park Geun-hye was unreasonable?
I think that it does violate the principle to present controversies because it ignores that there are different positions on the impeachment in the Korean society. And by presenting only one position as a right, it also overwhelms the students and prevents them from developing their own opinion on the impeachment of President Park. So it violates all three principles of the Bütelsbach consensus.
Or another one would be the education ministry sending official letters to parents last July. This isn't direct teaching, obviously, but it is something related, clearly, to kids' education, and urging them to educate their own kids about the deployment of THAAD missile defense, saying it's necessary and safe.
Well, I think it's similar to the first example. It also violates all three principles of the Bütelsbach consensus, and it also seems strange to me that school authorities can order parents how to educate their children.
And how should we view the government's push for state-authored history textbooks based on the consensus?
Well, as far as I know, the state-authored history textbooks offer a very special view on Korean history, let's put it this way. And this view is objected by many historians. Therefore, of course, it does contradict the Bütelsbach consensus. And let me add that in Germany, the most important historical competency we want our students to gain is the so-called narrative competency, which means that they should recognize that historical reports never are pure objective facts, but always narratives that depend on the persons or institutions that report it. And so state-authored history textbooks that present only one view impede the development of the narrative competency.
But Germany, like many other countries, has a political spectrum, a healthy political spectrum. What made it possible for your country's different parties to agree on the details of this consensus?
I think there's a slight misunderstanding of the meaning of the Bütelsbach consensus in the Korean discussion on the consensus, because it's not a political consensus. It's first of all a scientific consensus within the scientific community of political didactics, the scientists that conduct research on political education at school, and most politicians don't know anything about the Bütelsbach consensus. But still, we do live in a democratic and pluralistic political system. And when we tell anybody about the Beutelsbach consensus, they always tend to accept the principles. And I think that's because they represent important democratic values. Prohibition of overwhelming the students points to the inviolability of human dignity. The imperative to present controversies points to the ideal of a pluralistic society. And the third principle, to enable students to find out about their own personal interests and to be able to articulate these interests in order to take part in forming the political will, refers to the main democratic ideal itself, the ideal of democracy as government by the people.
But how is the consensus actually being applied at schools today, some four decades since it was actually drawn up?
This question is not easy to answer because so far there are no large-scale empirical studies on the application. Just now, a colleague of mine, Monika Oberle from the University of Göttingen, has started a small survey on the degree of familiarity and the acceptance of the Beutelsbach Convention using questionnaires. And this survey verifies the personal experience I myself and most colleagues of mine made. And it confirms that about 75% of the civic education teachers know about the Beutelsbach consensus and can recall at least the first two principles. Only a minority of them knows the third principle as well. Nearly all of them consider it important. But besides familiarity and acceptance of the Beutelsbach consensus, there's no real evidence on the application. But from my experience, most teachers do at least try to include controversies and avoid overwhelming the students, and they also try to enable them to articulate their own interests, at least in political discussions at school. But, you know, the lessons I see at school, they are conducted by the students whom I train to implement the Beutelsbach consensus, and I really have no clue if this is representative or a biased experience at all.
I mean, some of this really does seem like common sense, this idea of not overwhelming a pupil or of treating controversial subjects as controversial, but clearly teachers are human beings too. Is it possible to ensure impartiality during debates at schools?
No, it's not. And there are probably a lot of teachers that violate the Beutelsbach consensus, but it's very difficult, but I don't see any alternative but trying to do so.
But what about the role of teachers? How careful should they at least be in expressing their political stance in class in front of students? What would your advice be?
Well, I think they should be very careful because in their classroom they have children or teenagers that are in a dependent relationship to themselves. But still, there are good reasons to express one's political opinion, even in front of one's students. And the main reason, I think, is that we urge our students to express their political opinion publicly and to advocate it using good arguments. And I don't see how we can demand this of our students if we ourselves are not willing to do so. We wouldn't make good role models or political citizens if we wouldn't stand up for our own opinion and so also give our students a chance to contradict.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to my own education when teachers were expressing their opinions. It certainly didn't mean I would suddenly take on board their opinion. The importance, of course, is that part of treating controversial subjects as controversial and actually presenting some other perspectives. Actually, here in Korea, I mean, you said that you weren't really able to force teachers to do this, but South Korea does ban teachers from engaging in activities of political parties, election campaigns, and running for seats in the political circle. So there is at least some attempt there to divorce them from the political process. What are the implications of that, would you say?
Well, I would say this is beyond the Beutelsbach consensus because banning teachers from political activity is completely inconsistent with the right of every citizen to political engagement. That is one of the fundamental basics of every democratic society. And therefore, banning teachers from political activities, that does not only contradict the consensus, but the idea of democracy itself.
And we're addressing how this is going to affect us going forward, the idea of students perhaps being even more interest in politics when they're disgruntled with the situation. The political circle here is debating whether to lower the voting age to 18 One of the major reasons is to draw out more political participation. Liberal parties might benefit from that more than the Conservative counterparts. What's your view on that?
Well, in Germany, we have this discussion on lowering the voting age from 18 Western age to 16, and some local governments allow 16-year-olds to vote. And drawing out more political participation of the youth is one of the main arguments in of the people that favor lowering the voting age in Germany as well as in Korea. I must admit that I'm not sure whether to agree to a general voting age of 16 in Germany, because I think that a certain life experience helps to develop a reasonable political judgment. But I do think as well that it would increase the interest in political subjects, and it would make it easier for teachers at school to teach political education if the students were allowed to vote. But I think there are also good reasons to match the voting age and the legal age, which is both 18 in Germany, because more rights come together with more responsibilities, which I consider to be reasonable.
Professor Pohl, thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts this morning.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling me.
Well, great to have you on the line, Professor Kirsten Pohl from the University of Mainz. And as I said before, did recently visit Korea to talk about this, clarifying how this consensus is not a top-down approach. It's something that's happened through a side door, or rather more organically, but which has been, I think we can say, widely adopted, but there is no specific measure for that. Is that the sort of governance of schools that we should be thinking of as well, beyond the consensus itself? Pound a sharp 1013 for 51 per message.